All right, good morning again, everybody. We are going to continue our way through Jesus' message in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. So I'll invite you to open up to Matthew 5 in those in your Bible or a Bible near you. We will be reading from verses 31 and 32 today. And this message continues to challenge us. And that's really Jesus' point in this, is to really elevate our understanding of God's law, how important it is. This week is another focus on the bond of marriage, just as it was last week. And I also want to just remind us again, throughout this message, Jesus is pointing us to the heart of God's law. As he's walking through these specific points of God's law, he's trying to remind us to not just live with a superficial understanding of the law as the Pharisees often did, but to really understand God's heart and especially understand we fall short. We have sinned against God. That's a big part of the point that Jesus is making, and that we need him to live up to it. I assume that you remember the first beatitude. We are poor in what? Poor in spirit. Meaning we are utterly destitute spiritually. We depend fully on God, and Jesus continues to drive that point home. So keep that in mind as we walk through this, because, again, these messages are going to challenge us. So last week we covered the previous section where Jesus said that you've heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. We talked about that. The way that we have this sinful desire to look at other people, the way we view each other, and Jesus is pointing to the state of our hearts, confronting us the reality of true righteousness that God desires from us. And now we move on to this next section. Let's read verses 31 and 32. He says, "It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery." Okay. Those are some hard words to swallow. That's not the way we understand marriage in our world today, is it? But Jesus is elevating God's standard, what God desires. Now, before we really get into what Jesus is saying here, I see an opportunity to remind ourselves to have high integrity in the way that we make use of God's word. It is really, really easy for us to distort what the Bible says for our own purposes. And that's part of what Jesus is trying to correct here. For example, Jesus makes a statement. He said, "It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce." And just an important historical note here, that is the way it worked back then. Women did not have the legal right to divorce their husbands. Husbands would divorce their wives. That's just the reality of the world that they lived in at that time. They did not have rights. They depended either on their parents or their spouse for everything in life. To not be under the household of their parent or a house meant death and destitution for women, which is what we're going to get into a little bit in a moment here. So he quotes this statement, whoever divorces his wife needs to give her a certificate of divorce. The religious leaders of Jesus' time had interpreted this law as a method for obtaining a divorce. If you want to divorce your wife, get a certificate. And you see this further in Matthew 19, later in Matthew. The Pharisees came to confront and try to test Jesus. You can follow along in this Matthew 19, starting in verse 3. We're going to see this confrontation a little bit here. So in verse 3, the Pharisees came to him to test him. They said, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" And Jesus responds at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two of them will become one flesh." That's the biblical definition of marriage right there. That is how God established marriage in Genesis. And then verse 6, he says, "So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." So on the one hand, the Pharisees are saying, look, we have this law that says a man can divorce his wife. Jesus says, no. And they're trying to confront him now. They're trying to get him to admit that he is disagreeing with the law that Moses gave. And so they say to him in verse 7, why did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? And Jesus responds, Moses permitted you to divorce because of your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another commits adultery. So he repeats what he says in verse 5. But the point, Jesus concedes that Moses did give this law, but it's not what God intended. It's because of our sinfulness that God allowed it. Now, here's where you start to see how the Pharisees by this time had twisted God's word. If you go back and read the original law that Moses gave, it is not a permission to divorce. That's a completely different reason to it. Let's take a look at that in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. So way back at the beginning, Deuteronomy 24. Somebody's reading it for us. Deuteronomy 24, starting in verse 1. This is Moses giving the law to the Israelites before they enter the promised land. He said, if a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him, because he finds something indecent about her and writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her and sends her from his house. And if after she leaves his house, she becomes the wife of another man and her second husband dislikes her and writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her and sends her from his house. Or if he dies, then her first husband who divorced her is not allowed to marry her again after she has been defiled. That would be detestable in the eyes of the Lord. Do not bring sin upon the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Does that say a man can divorce his wife for any reason? Not at all. It's just, it's given that a man is going to be displeased with his wife and send her away. I think that's the state of the world at that time. That's what men sometimes did. They were displeased. Right, that's how he's being. Suppose somebody has a divorce. This law is really about preserving marriages and protecting women. By requiring a certificate of divorce, men could not just discard or abandon a woman whenever he decided he was done with her. He was required to go through this legal process to get a certificate of divorce to give her. And that certificate gave her legal protection in the community. That said, she could legally remarry and not be accused of adultery. It served to protect the woman, to make sure she was cared for. This law also ensured that a man couldn't just keep changing his mind. It was an abomination to the Lord for him to send her away and then take her back after defiling her by divorcing her. And I take it from the fact that God gave this law tells me that this is the standard way people were at that time. That men would take in a woman, discard her, take her back, change his mind, and treat women as just property. God was elevating the rights and the love for all people and saying, look, no, these people, these women matter. You can't just get rid of them. And the marriage bond that you make is meant to be unbreakable. So the original law that God gave was about that. By the time Jesus came along, the Pharisees had twisted it into a method for gaining a divorce. And that's the main point I want to make right now, is that we need to be careful with God's law. The Pharisees were not being careful with God's. They were using it for their own purposes. Unfortunately, we now today often misuse what Jesus says in chapter 5 of Matthew. Do you know how this passage that we read today is often used today? Has anybody heard this passage quoted and used for any reasons? The most common use of this passage in Matthew 5 about divorce is to explain and debate what exactly marital unfaithfulness or sexual immorality is to justify a divorce. We keep looking for ways to say, okay, this divorce is okay. It's not sinful because one of the spouses did this thing that Jesus says is okay.
Yeah, I was going to have a question. I had a question.
Yeah.
It really clarifies that sexual immorality,
was it on the part of the husband or the wife, or either? Well, I think it's taken in just the cultural context that it's the husband divorcing the wife is probably because the wife was unfaithful. But in our time, you know, we have learned a lot, grown a lot since then. In our case, it would be either if either spouse is unfaithful, that perhaps there could be a divorce. But this is how this passage is used. And this is the point I'm trying to make. This passage, we hone in on that except for marital unfaithfulness. And we use that as the main point that Jesus is making. He's saying, look, if this happens, it's okay to get divorced. God won't hold it against you. We try to find ways to say divorce is okay in certain situations. No, right. And that's what we're going to get back to, because that's really what Jesus is all about. Right. And that's exactly what we keep trying to do. We keep trying to look at these situations where God says, this is what I want you to do, and we're not meeting that, and we're like, well, is it really that bad, Lord? And the fact that Jesus puts that except in there seems to give us this door to say, well, okay, we have this loophole. We have this clause that we can turn to and say, it's okay. In fact, I've seen Christians celebrate certain divorces. Good, get rid of that worthless piece of whoever it is and be done with them. And that tells a whole different story than what God says about marriage. And so right now, there's a lot of things that I'm saying. The point here is that we need to be careful with God's word. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Thank you. You guys are helping me speak this message. You're bringing up things that I was thinking of as well, right? Marriage should not be entered into lightly. What Jesus is saying here is that God's intention for marriage is a permanent bond where he takes two people and makes them one. That is not how our culture views marriage. And it diminishes God's plans for this bond, this unique kind of bond that he created. There's something special that God is doing in the marriage bond that we need to uphold as Christians, to say there's something here that God is doing. So the root of this whole problem is that we keep wanting to say we're not so bad. But the whole basis of the Bible is that we are not obedient. We are poor in spirit. Right. We are not good. According to God's standard, we can't keep bringing God's standard down to our level. And that's what Jesus is doing throughout this message. He goes, no, you want to make God's righteousness something less than it is. No, God's righteousness is way up here. Don't diminish that. Don't hide from it. Don't make excuses for it. When it comes to this marriage covenant that God created, he intends us to view it as an unbreakable bond. Jesus says, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And that is the standard that God continues to uphold. As I said, there's something unique and special about this bond that God creates. I've heard it said that one of the things that makes marriage so special, that involves taking two very different creatures, a male and a female, who think differently, act differently, right? Who left to their own would probably not stay together, which we see, right? That's the pattern we see in the world. And saying, no, I'm going to put you together and make you one flesh. That's a work of God. Yeah. Right. They were chosen to be married to somebody, right? Right. Yeah. Just an aside as you're bringing this up. So the story of the woman at the well that Jesus met, the Samaritan woman, and it says in there, you know, she says she doesn't have a husband. Jesus says, no, you've had five husbands. that's often interpreted that this woman is an adulterous woman sleeping around with many men. But there's been theologians who've looked at that and said, consider the culture. She didn't have a choice. She either has been divorced many times and had to go to somebody else, or she's had multiple husbands die. This is not a comment on this woman's character. This is a comment on the trauma that she's experienced in her life, that she's had so many husbands. As we understand the culture, right? She didn't have a choice. So again, God is, in one way, trying to help change our attitude toward one another. God did not see women as just property, right? He saw them as valuable partners for men, helpmates. And he said, I'm going to put you together and form something special out of you. And if you've been around a couple that has been married for decades and decades, you know that it is a work of God that they are joined together, right? Yeah, I see you're all laughing and smiling. In case, for those of you who have not been married, in case you didn't know, every marriage has troubles. There's no such thing as a happy, perfect marriage all the time. And it really does take committing to the Lord to work through those things and not just hang together, but to grow closer together, to become tighter, to become one. And there's something about that that is a powerful witness to the world. There's lots of language in the Bible about the connection between God and his church being a marriage. And we have the privilege as human beings, when we marry, to show that kind of love, that show what that bond looks like to the world. Go ahead. Yeah. Yep. It does. It is a powerful witness of God's power. And so this is what Jesus is communicating, that bond. There is something about that particular relationship that God has established that is meant to be unbreakable, is meant to be handled with care. As Pat said a moment ago, you want to be careful before making this decision. We don't want to frighten single people away from being married, right? But we also don't want people to handle it so loosely as we do today. It's, you don't just meet someone and you feel the love and you enjoy everything about them and you're like, okay, let's be married. And then a few months later you realize, whoa, there are some serious issues here that I didn't realize, and I made a commitment and now I'm looking to get out. You want to handle it with care. And at the same time, you're not going to have all your questions answered from the beginning. You're not going to know everything about that person you're committing to the day you get married. And that's where you need God. That's how you need to walk through this with God. So we're talking a lot specifically about marriage. And it's important to understand God's plan for marriage. Let's step back again to the bigger point that Jesus is making. Jesus is intentionally making us uncomfortable by drawing our attention to God's righteousness, that deeper heart level righteousness. The bar for pleasing God is high. If you marry someone and you send them away, you are causing them to commit adultery. That's the way God views it, because he made you into one flesh, one person. And now you're trying to break that bond. That is the bar that God holds. We're supposed to, in this, recognize our own sin and weakness, that we cannot meet that bar. Go ahead, Pat. Yeah. Yes, maybe not legally, so according to the law, based on the culture, but according to God, yes. Yes, this is not just for the women, right? Both people, there are two people in this bond that God created, and if they separate, they are not living up to what God expected. Yeah. No.
Just
Right. Exactly. Right. I think we need to remember, Jesus is intentionally making us uncomfortable with these words because we have so diminished God's righteousness in our hearts and minds. He is calling us to pay attention to who God is and the kind of holiness he wants us to achieve. We are supposed to feel uncomfortable with what he says. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. That is a topic of discussion. Right. That is a topic of discussion. Yeah. Yeah. And that is the way, again, I would say that's a way, again, mankind has distorted God's law to say, okay, the woman needs to be punished. Right. Right. Go ahead, Katie. Okay, so let me say this, first of all, because we're going to get to that. God's standard is he's going to put two together, and they are to be one forever. Let no man, that's right, right, let no man or woman separate what God has put together. That's the standard. Has any of us ever achieved that? No. Right, name a standard that we have achieved. None. Right. Right. We're just being real here. Do people abuse their spouses? Because we're sinful. Do people abandon their spouses? Do people get married hastily, make bad choices, and then look for a way out of those relationships? Right. Right. Should, yeah, exactly. Should the church say you must stay with that spouse no matter what they do to you because God wants you to be together? Correct. Only if we ignored all of the scripture. God, I would say God allows for divorce because we're sinful. Because of all these things. It's not to say you, if you have been abandoned by your spouse, have been sinful. No, because your spouse is sinful. God is going to protect you by allowing you out of that bond. Because what they have done to you, it's not to diminish the bond, it's to say that that person has done something so terrible that they have already broken this bond or damaged this bond that God created between you. And God's not going to hold you to that. Does he want that? No. A way out is provided. So God, and this is the wonderful thing about God. And here's the challenge of walking through these messages for me is to communicate God's standard is this. We must, as Christian church, uphold the standard. But at the same time, none of us meets it. What do we do with that? Do we feel condemned? Do we feel shame? Is Jesus telling you, look at you dirty, awful sinners. Look what you've done to what God has created? No. First of all, he's just saying, let's be honest. Let's all be honest that we cannot live up to God's standard on our own. Let's not keep trying to find ways to make it okay. If this happened and that happened in this situation, that makes it okay. No, it doesn't make it okay. But God loves you. God cares about you. God will protect you. And so, yeah, he allows divorce to happen. He allows the separation to happen for your good, for grace. Consider what a wonderful witness of the power of God it is, though, if there is a couple that goes through some serious trial, infidelity, maybe there is some abuse, maybe there's stuff that happens, and then both of them come to the Lord and submit to him, and they stay together. Their bond is repaired. Their bond is strengthened. Wow. What an amazing witness to God that is, to say it doesn't have to end in divorce if both commit to the Lord. And so I hope I'm being clear. There's a lot of words to try to say. God is not going to condemn you if you have been divorced, if you have separated from someone, if you've been with someone and then you drifted away. God's not going to condemn you for that. But let's not call it okay. Let's not look for a loophole that says it's not sinful. It is. But let's just be honest. Lord, we have sinned. Or I've been hurt by somebody else's sin, and it's led me to this position. And we need you, Lord. That's the main point, right? There's several things I want us to hear today. I want married couples to understand what a tremendous thing God has done in your life by giving you that spouse. And it's going to be hard, but God wants to form something great in you. And I also want to acknowledge that maybe there are some marriages that are really struggling and are about to fall apart, or maybe they have fallen apart. We're not going to ignore that. We're not going to tell you just hang in there and hold it together. We're going to come alongside you as a church, and we're going to pray with you and discern with you, what is God's will here? We know what God wants, but we also know we fall short. If you haven't been married, if you're single and you're considering whether God wants you to marry, we can't tell you that for sure, but we'll walk with you through that process. And we want to encourage you to discern God's will and to seek out a godly spouse who will enter into marriage with you walking by faith, because that is going to be the best of all possible worlds. You'll experience the goodness of God's in ways you just can't in others. But above all that, this message is once again Jesus telling us the same message. God's standard is high, and you have not met it. Let's not keep making excuses. Let's not keep saying, but Lord, but Lord. No, he knows all that. He understands all of that. It doesn't make it righteous. It doesn't make it okay. But where does Jesus meet us with that? He meets us with love and grace and forgiveness. That's the point of the whole gospel. He will meet you right where you are. Let's just be honest and open with him about the state of our lives. And he will meet you right where you are. He doesn't need to hear all your reasons. They're valid. He knows them. He doesn't need to know all of that. He just needs you to come to him and say, Lord, I need you. I can't live this life that you want for me on my own. I want it. I know it's what's best for me. I can't do it without you. Jesus is inviting us throughout this sermon to lay down all of our self-righteousness and come to him and say, God, I need you. Please come into my life and make me new. That is the point of all of this. Take your marriage, take your relationships to the Lord and say, Lord, make them new. Because we can't do this without you. Let's give him thanks for his power working in and through us in so many ways. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. It is so challenging for us at times to come to this point, to realize you just need us to lay ourselves down and confess ourselves to you and trust you. That trust is hard for us to give at times, but Lord, you are faithful. May I ask that you help each and every one of us to trust ourselves completely to you. And today we do pray for marriage, that you would help us build strong and healthy marriages grounded in you, held together by you as a witness to this world and a blessing to one another. We pray that you help young people navigate this difficult sometimes decision, Lord, of who to be joined to and how to be joined and whether to be joined. Lord, you are in the midst and you guide people into this beautiful process. Be with them and help us to be with one another in all of these things, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.